Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Jay.
All right, so the Vikings lose yesterday 28-22 against the Eagles. Eagles got a couple of, well, three long touchdown passes and also an interception return touchdown. Your thoughts in yesterday's game?
So many things went wrong. Now, listen, you know, context. They played a close game against the defending champs. It's not really, it's not an embarrassing loss or anything like that. But, you know, it was kind of a swing game, and you know, they had a chance to go up four and two going to play the Chargers on a short week, which is quite a challenge. Not that the Chargers are world beaters, but flying to the West Coast on a short week is a very difficult task. So this would have been a really nice victory for them to have, and they really failed in a lot of ways. Wentz had a terrible stretch. You know, he had the pick six. His next pass play, he threw the ball backwards out of bounds. His next pass play after that, he threw just a Hail Mary interception. I thought he started the game pretty shakily. I thought he got better, and he played with a lot of guts in the second half, but he did not have a good first half. The running game was not particularly good. They had too many penalties. You know, when you do have a pick six, it's a pretty low percentage chance you're going to win the game and when you make that kind of a mistake. And then I thought, you know, what I wrote about, I was very disappointed in the defense, especially the first touchdown. I mean, they're playing the Eagles pretty tough. The Eagles' offense has been struggling the last couple of weeks. They have not been throwing the ball downfield very well. They've not been running the ball very well. And Eagles are facing, fourth down. And Flores decides to send only three rushers. He has Cashman spy Hurts. So he's got seven people to cover. And he knows he's not going to have much of a pass rush, but he's only sending three people. And he's got, I think, four receivers to cover. And somehow, not only do they allow Josh Metellus to have to cover A.J. Brown one-on-one, which is a mismatch, they have no safety help over the top, and it's the easiest touchdown pass you're ever going to see. I thought that was a terrible mistake. You never really know whether that was a mistake by one of the safeties or whether that was a bad call, but it certainly didn't work out well. And then, you know, I think we saw that the Eagles know Isaiah Rodgers very well, and Devontae Smith completely turned him around on a great deep route. And Hurts, who's missed a lot of throws like that, hit him perfectly in stride for, you know, 79-yard touchdown or whatever. And then Rodgers misses the tackle on the 10. That's more of a, you know, physical matchup error than a coaching error, but it's still a bad play for that defense. And then, yeah, the Vikings defense came into the game really near the top of the league and limiting explosive plays, limiting explosive pass plays, and they got lit up. And that, so as easy as to blame the quarterback for everything, and even though I do think Wentz made a lot of mistakes and did not play particularly well, I think the defense was supposed to play better than that against the champs yesterday.
Do the Vikings do a good job against Saquon, or is Saquon just not as good as he was?
I think it was a combination of Saquon ran the ball okay, but the Vikings did a pretty good job with him, and especially as the game wore on, they really didn't let him have much. I also think that the Eagles, you know, realized that there were plays to be made in the passing game. They'd used Saquon just to kind of keep the Vikings honest. But, you know, that running game's not where it was, and some of it's probably the overall struggles they've had offensively. Some of it's probably the offensive line not being quite as good, but also Saquon just doesn't look the same. You know, he's gone from looking like Barry Sanders to looking like an average back.
Jim, so they're 3-3. They got a short week, play a Thursday game against the Chargers. Chargers got beat yesterday, gave up 38 points against the Colts. Colts are obviously really good. Your thoughts on the matchup on Thursday already?
Yeah, the football matchup doesn't look as difficult as it did a couple weeks ago when it looked like the Chargers are going to be one of the best teams in the NFL. Chargers have flaws. They're down to the third string running backs. They have offensive line issues. Their defense, just as you said, just got lit up by one of the best offenses in the NFL. But it's hard. It's just hard on an NFL body to play a physical game against the Eagles are a physical team. They just played a knockdown drag out with the Eagles at home. Now they got to fly short week of preparation to go play a team that will be well coached on the road on a short rest. It's just a tough ask. It's not an unwinnable game. They will have a chance to win that game, but it's just a tough ask.
Is it going to be Wentz at quarterback?
I think it's got to be. I just don't see. And listen, he got beat up again yesterday. So I if he's physically unable to bounce back, yeah, then they'll make a decision. But I mean, as much as everybody loves Max Brosmer, they're not. The season is not about Max Brosmer. It's just not. He plays it's because of injuries. So the question, you know, if McCarthy wasn't ready to fully practice last week, is he really going to be able to get up to speed for an NFL game in basically 2 days? Is he travel on Wednesday? They'll, you know, they won't do much today. They really have one full day of preparation. Is that really a realistic ask for a young quarterback? I don't think it is. So I think Wentz plays if he's healthy. Maybe Brosmer plays if Wentz isn't healthy. And then I think after that, the way the season's going, I think it will be time to devote the rest of the season to trying to develop McCarthy.
Well, and then that following week at November 2nd, they play the Lions at Detroit. I mean, regardless, very tough game. But if JJ's healthy, he's the guy, right?
I think so. I just think it's time for him to you know, there are a number of things. Number one, if he's going to develop, it's going to be at this point, it's going to be playing and learning from his mistakes. And you can't really pick a soft part of the schedule because you never know what's going to be a soft part of the schedule. So you just got to play him. And if he's not healthy enough, then eventually it might be time just to see what you have in Brosmer. But you need, A, you need to develop McCarthy. B, if he's not good enough, you need to find that out. You know, you can't go into this offseason not knowing what you have in J.J. McCarthy. So it's going to be time for him very soon.
You know, the Vikings are 3-3, and that's last place in the division because the Bears won again. They're 4-2. The Packers won again. They're 4-1-1. And the Lions are 4-2, and they play at home tonight against the Bucs. This division is really tough.
Division's very good. I think the Lions right now look like the class of the division. The Packers, again, didn't look particularly impressive yesterday, but they pulled it out against a backup quarterback and a backup running back in Arizona. They're not playing great. The Bears, I thought that was a professional win. I think they've had two professional wins in a row. Not overly impressive, but you can see that what the difference coaching makes is look like a more professional unit. They've also started running the ball much more effectively, which, you know, we talk so much about Ben Johnson working with Caleb Williams, but one of Ben Johnson's greatest strengths is having a dynamic running game, and he's starting to develop that now. So, yeah, the Vikings right now look like the worst team in the division.
Jim, the Gopher football team, they won on Saturday decidedly against 25th-ranked Nebraska. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I thought two things. I thought the Gophers were really impressive. They, you know, three things. They haven't been running the ball well. They ran the ball extremely well. And Darius Taylor looked like his old self, where he's an excellent runner and an excellent receiver. Number two, the Gophers have not been stopping the run. They stopped a very good running back. I thought they really, I thought it was impressive coaching and line performance on both sides. And then the third thing is, I thought Nebraska and Matt Rhule kind of looked like frauds. You know, I mean, you come in with a talented quarterback, what we thought is a talented quarterback, completing 73% of his passes with a good running back, good running game, and a ranking. And I just expected to see more. I thought Rayola was much more interested in making cute plays than in standing in the pocket and handling the rush. I didn't think he handled pressure well at all. And the Gophers took advantage of that. And I think Matt Rhule is, the funny thing is that Matt Rhule is rumored to be the next Penn State coach. To me, he's a lot like James Franklin. He's a guy who can kind of build your program and give you some enthusiasm, but he doesn't win big games. And I thought PJ outcoached him by a mile.
Jim, with the games remaining, they got Iowa this week. That'll be tough. They also have Oregon coming up in a couple of weeks, but Michigan State, Northwestern, Wisconsin on the schedule. Could they win three, maybe four of those games?
I think so, and I think the Nebraska game is, you know, one of those what we call swing games. It's one of those games that if you win it, it really sets you up to have a good season. If you had lost it, then you'd be really kind of playing from behind. I think, you know, I don't know how they match up with Iowa. Iowa's pretty good, but not great, like usual. But, you know, it's always a tough game. But, yeah, I think the Gophers, by beating Nebraska, have set themselves up to have a nice chance to have a run here.
Baseball, we're going to a Game 7 tonight in ALCS. The Blue Jays beat the Mariners 6-2 in Game 6. Your thoughts on tonight's Game 7 in Toronto?
Louis Varland had a nice game. He's having a nice ALCS. Polanco has cooled off since all of his heroics. Now it's Bieber against Kirby, two good pitchers. Bieber's had the better postseason. And they're playing in Toronto. And David Popkins, the former Twins hitting coach, looks like he knows what he's doing.
Any new candidates for the Twins job? Anybody else that you've heard?
You know, Nick Punto's name came up at the end of last week. I think they're going to interview a bunch of people. I really think that the two prime candidates are Rowson and Vasquez. Vasquez is very well thought of. He has, you know, very popular bench coach with the Red Sox, very highly thought of in Major League Baseball, also very highly thought of in Latin America, where he's coached a lot of championship teams in winter ball. So I think those are two great candidates. Not based on anything I'm hearing from the Twins, just based on my own logic and knowing how they do things, I would think that those would be the top two candidates right now.
All right, Jim, what do you got in your podcast?
Full Slate is up, a good Chin Music about all everything that's going on with the Twins and managerial candidates. We do a really deep breakdown on all these candidates with Lavelle and Roy. That's Chin Music at TalkNorth.com. We have a good John Krasinski show up on the Wolves, Russo on hockey, as always. Don Mitchell's interview show with Leah B. Olson, Mark Rosen Sports Monday. We'll start up a new cycle today, and we do have three Viking shows up, and everything's at TalkNorth.com.
All right, Jim, thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Jay.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at Suhan Strib. Check out his latest column in Star Tribune's podcast at TalkNorth.com. Jim, once again today, brought to you by the Green Mill in downtown St. Cloud. Dream Getaway 88. First code word of the day is courtship. C-O-U-R-T-S-H-I-P. Courtship. Type that in. You could win a vacation of a lifetime. First code word is courtship. Dream Getaway 88 is brought to you by Luxembourg Feed Services, Burst Travel, Schwebel Getz & Sieben, Sox Rapid Car Wash, Legacy Upfitters in Wade Park, and Four Seasons Builders. First code word is courtship. We'll also have a code word at 10:20, again at 12:28, and an app-only code word at 3 this afternoon. Good luck. Hope you can win Dream Getaway 88. Next on WJON, World and National News from ABC, followed by local news.